This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
As COVID continues to circulate in the community, I think the current wave is expected to peak around Christmas time. We've now got access to some new COVID booster vaccines. Well, what makes these new boosters different from the existing ones, and should we be getting them? Paul Griffin is a professor of infectious diseases and microbiology at the University of Queensland. Paul, welcome to Joy Drive.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
Paul, what's the current strain of COVID that's circulating in the community?
Look, it's even more complicated than ever before, and one of the limitations of knowing what strains are around really at the moment is we're doing such little testing, it's a little bit hard to know, but there's a bit of a mixed bag at the moment. We've had the wave really kicked off with EG5, and then BA2.86 came along, and then in fact there's another one, JN1, that's kind of driving things a little bit, particularly in other countries. So there's a lot of different subvariants around, but the main thing is I think it's probably time people don't necessarily follow that all that closely and just know that this new vaccine is a really good match for all those subvariants that are causing these challenges at the moment.
So the new vaccine, I think, was made available yesterday, if I'm correct. How does it differ to the previous ones?
Yeah, that's right. So that new vaccine was approved some time ago, but actually made available yesterday. And, you know, what we've seen with our vaccine response is because the virus has changed so much and so quickly, our vaccine responses had to change as well. So we had the initial vaccines against the original or Wuhan strain. We then had some Omicron boosters, which were actually bivalent. So also included that original one. So we had a BA1 and a BA4.5 booster. This booster actually, though, is another Omicron subvariant XBB, which, while it's not exactly the same as those subvariants that I mentioned, it's a really close match for that. And we've gone back to it being monovalent, meaning we've gotten rid of the original bit in the booster because that original or Wuhan strain just isn't going around anymore. So there's no benefit in that. So that's why we have this XBB booster that's available as of yesterday.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I went to book a vaccine today and I noticed I could book either the Omicron, the XBB 1.5 or a bivalent one. And I was thinking, which one is the new one? So it's the XBB 1.5, is that right?
That's exactly right. So that's the one we should really be trying to get at the moment. I mean, you know, as we've said throughout, the best booster is the one you can get. But if you've got a choice, if you're in the position to be able to get XBB 1.5, that certainly should be the one that people select from now on.
Paul, at one stage, I think we were counting, you know, I'd had my fifth booster or something like that, and it was getting quite confusing trying to keep up with it all. Just as you said, you know, we shouldn't necessarily worry about the strain of the virus out there and get confused with that. How are we measuring where we are in terms of eligibility for vaccines at the moment? Are we still counting them by numbers?
Look, it's a really good point, I think, and it's something that's become so confusing. And, you know, it's not the same as influenza, of course, but if we use that as a bit of a parallel, we don't count how many flu vaccines we've had to know if we should get one every year. And that's essentially the situation with COVID. So the two things we really look at now, we are a little bit more risk-based in terms of our recommendations. So for the highest risk people in our community, they should really get a booster every 6 months. So that's people who are over 75 or perhaps younger with very significant medical problems. And then for the majority of the population, we really want to recommend a booster basically every year. So to simplify it a bit, if you're over 18, you've not had a booster this year, then you should at least consider getting a booster. But in fact, I'd actually recommend it. And if you're in a higher risk group, so if you're over 18 but have medical problems, or if you're over 75, then really that interval should be a bit more frequently, and you'd even consider getting one every 6 months.
We're chatting with Paul Griffin, Professor of Infectious Diseases and Microbiology at the University of Queensland, about who's eligible for the new COVID boosters and if we should get one. Paul, how effective are the new boosters?
Yeah, in simple terms, they're really effective. I mean, we know that the impact of vaccination has been affected by two things, so that it reduces over time, and also when the virus changes, our protection from past vaccines can decline as well. That actually also applies to immunity we get from infection. So this, what we call immune evasion, applies to both, and that's why we will need regular boosters moving forward, because that addresses both of those challenges that we face with vaccination. So your protection goes down, and it also goes over time, and also goes down when the virus changes, and that's why having a new booster that's a really good fit for the strains that are going around now addresses those issues really well. So that's why we know it's working really well to provide protection, even though we've got quite a complex situation with the strains that are around.
Now, I booked mine for Friday morning, but Paul, I I'm not worried about the safety at all, but I do want to ask you, because there are people out there who will be thinking, are they safe? Are they safe?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really important to stress that, you know, we tested these vaccines a lot at the very beginning to approve them. And then we've monitored really carefully, both in Australia and elsewhere, that they do remain safe as well as effective. And, you know, these new boosters don't just get released without some prior testing. It's not like they go through the full stages of clinical trials, because it's a little bit of an update like we do with the flu vaccine. But we do really carefully monitor their safety. And all the data that we have available at the moment suggests that these new boosters have a safety profile that's very similar to the boosters that we've been using, which have been demonstrated to be both safe and effective. So, you know, we know there are some adverse events. A proportion of people will get a bit of a sore arm, maybe a fever the day they get vaccinated. And, you know, there are some really rare, more significant adverse events, but, you know, on the whole, they occur at a really low rate. So the safety of these vaccines is really good, and that's why we can very confidently recommend them.
Paul, something that I suppose I struggle with if we're looking at a flu vaccine, you know, when I go to get a flu vaccine, I just book an appointment with my GP and get a flu vaccine. I don't specify which type it is. Yet with the COVID ones, we still get to specify which one we want. Do you think we'll get to a point where we just say, you know what, I want a COVID booster?
Yeah, I think we need to do a lot better at, you know, making it much easier. And even this week, you know, I've been doing a bit of looking myself on a lot of the sites that are being recommended to try and find a vaccine provider. It doesn't even list the updated one at the moment. So I think, you know, we've really dropped the ball on making it just sensible and logical and straightforward for people to go and get the right vaccine. So, you know, I think we'll always have some options, but that's why I think we need to do better at educating providers about which of those options are available for which people, but also having readily available information for the general public so they understand what those options are and can make an easy, informed decision. So, you know, I think we'll always have those options, but we need to do better to make it more straightforward.
And just to reiterate, so the latest vaccine is the XBB 1.5. That's correct.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's the one people should be getting. People might know that there's another vaccine, Novavax, for which we don't yet have an updated version of. So if people preferencing Novavax for a booster, it's still able to be used as a booster in its own right, but that one hasn't been updated. So for the vast majority of people, what we want them to get is that XBB 1.5 booster. And that's an mRNA vaccine. And there's two options, there's Moderna and Pfizer. And we don't really separate out which brand. So yeah, do try and get an XBB booster and don't worry about which brand it is.
Paul, we're all informed. We know what to do. Thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Paul Griffin, Professor of Infectious Diseases and Microbiology at the University of Queensland.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.